Okay, we're here outside the American Embassy. It's September 11th, 2004, 3 years after the devastation that happened in New York. So here's Damien, one of the Catholic workers, going to speak about what's going on today.
Yeah, myself and a couple of the other Dublin Catholic worker community who are basically here in Ireland for about 2 years since May Day 2002 decided to commemorate the dead from New York 3 years ago, but also the Afghani dead and the Iraqi dead. Also, we have a list of names and a vigil or a memorial set up just in front of the U.S. Embassy over there as well, with an injured Iraqi child and the names of the dead. And basically we're going to maintain a vigil here and in commemoration of the deceased. And we will have a report back from the Republican Convention by Harry Brown, who just returned to Ireland. And also, after that, we will have a harpist playing some music while we call out the names of the dead from New York, Afghanistan, and Iraq.
Okay, and what's been the response so far? How many people are here? If you could just tell it, radio people are. Have you got good feedback from people passing by?
Yeah, our experience actually of doing U.S. Embassy vigils is that you need good visuals, because there's a huge amount of traffic in cars and buses, but the pedestrian traffic is quite low. The Garda Síochána has been pretty nice, so that's always a good start. The media response, well, there's a couple of one or two journalists here, all right, and it's just about 10 people here at the moment, but I think the most important thing is that it's commemorated, and you know, we won't base it on numbers. So we're going to be here until 12 noon, and hopefully actually from Monday onwards we're actually going to maintain a vigil here from 5 to 7 p.m. until October 25th. So every Monday leading up to October 25th we'll be here between 5 to 7 p.m. again commemorating the dead, and also to try and remind people that rather than war, that it's a war on terror, it's war is terror is war. So again, we have to remind ourselves that the United States are the only government convicted by the World Court of being a terrorist state. So it's they don't really have a rich moral standpoint when it comes to preaching to the masses. It's also in solidarity with the people who are currently ongoing occupation in Afghanistan and Iraq. It's in commemoration also of the families of the deceased in New York who are still fighting for justice. And we hope that this provides some sense of solidarity. We're not against the people in New York. We're not anti-American. We would like to see ourselves as pro the American people against their government, who we believe have deceived them and who have manipulated their grief into waging a war on innocent people in various different countries all over the world.
And just from somewhat personally, for me, the most important thing that should have been asked after September 11th was the question why, and the American people should have really been asking this question, and I feel it wasn't asked. Instead, it was just, right, we're going to go out and get someone, and we're going to get revenge, and just to make up for this, to make up the numbers. But do you think that over the years that more and more people in the States are beginning to question what's going on, to become more informed, and with that are actually taking action to change the reasons for why it happened?
Yeah, it's very difficult to monitor from across the Atlantic about what's going on. Hopefully Harry will be able to give us an insight into what the American public think in New York. Anyway, recently there were huge demonstrations and mass arrests as well, unjustified arrests, which was actually really made obvious by the Supreme Court judge that ultimately released between 300 and 400 people who had been unlawfully detained. So I guess since the war on terror has been waged, it really has been a campaign of fear, and it's nothing new either. I mean, I'm only 24, but I remember even in the early 90s looking at this high-tech warfare on Sky News and Fox News just related over the screen, and you were just in shock and awe about the military might, and you were somewhat made subservient to what was going on, and you were preached upon by a media that is ultimately ruled by very, very wealthy people, corporations that are the real power mongers in the United States. And I guess in the context of an election going to happen also in the next 8 weeks over in the United States, It's unfortunate that people can't see through John Kerry's policies, and there's no choice really. Kerry, Bush, there's very, very little choice there. Ultimately, the American people are ruled by people that they don't vote in, whether that's the National Security Council, the Pentagon, the CIA, and so forth. And we're not getting into conspiracy theories here, but ultimately, these people have been responsible for various coups all over the world. And on September 11th, of course, we also remember the coup in Chile. We remember the beautiful Iraqi artist who was killed, and basically by cancer that she put down to the use of depleted uranium during the first Gulf War, and that's Nua al-Radi. September 11th cannot be co-opted just by the US government and manipulated to try and get their people to support a war on terror. So hopefully the American people will be able to see through Bush's policies, but unfortunately the choice of electing Kerry I don't think is going to make much difference. Some people would have an idea that actually by re-electing Bush it may be better, because he will continue to politicize the people, especially in the West, because if Irish people are agreed upon one thing at the moment, it's certainly their despising of George Bush and his cabinet.
Do you think that it is changing? Do you think that more people are becoming informed, and that it is actually making people politicised?
Yeah, I guess I can only talk from an Irish perspective. Certainly, the whole idea of the US military using Shannon had been brushed over since the first Gulf War. And it became a political issue 2 years ago, with various non-violent direct actions occurring from Owen Dubsky's trespass and spray painting the US Hercules plane down there, to the Plowshares action that we carried out on February 3rd, which was preceded by Mary Kelly's disarmament action of the same US Navy plane. And ultimately after that, I mean, three US companies who had been contracted by the US military to transport troops to the theater of war pulled out for 2 to 3 months. The US Navy plane that we disarmed and decommissioned was the only piece of military hardware that was sent back to the United States. These are small actions, and maybe the US military's use of Shannon is looked upon as quite small and insignificant, but when one has 10,000 troops passing through their soil, they are ultimately complicit, because they are providing a runway to death. And not just a runway to death to the Iraqi civilians, it's also to people who are of a like age as myself, young men and women who are being torn away from their families 10,000 miles away, possibly with pregnant wives, with young kids, and ultimately not to return, possibly, as over 1,000 have not returned. But there are also another 7,000 to 10,000 people who are injured, physically injured, and that's not to talk about the emotional trauma and the violence that will be perpetuated from people who return from the Gulf and, you know, project their anger and the violence that they have seen over there upon their own families. We would like to think that we are actually in solidarity with all of these people, because they have been violated also by the US government, by the UK government, in the context of the British military and all the coalition of the so-called willing. So, yeah, I guess there's many, many different things that we're trying to commemorate here today. And the main thing is not to forget the names of the dead. And there's one thing about the United States government and the British government, that they don't even know the names of the civilian casualties in Iraq or Afghanistan, because they don't count them. And even like a search for a list of the civilian dead in Afghanistan is relatively impossible to come by. So later on, anyway, hopefully we will be able to remind the people inside the US Embassy here in Dublin that they should remember the people that they have slaughtered, and that we are certainly not going to forget. And hopefully with the harpists beginning to play here as well, we can maintain some silence for those who are currently in grief in New York, Kabul, or throughout Afghanistan, and also in Baghdad and the rest of Iraq.
Okay, so just in finishing up now, if you just had one simple message to give out to the people living in the United States, what would it be?
The war on terror is war. It is terror. I would ask you to... I know you have an election coming up, and your choice is very, very difficult, but I hope that people will continue to resist non-violently the manipulation that their government are creating, and that they will ultimately resist the building or the manufacturing of weapons, and hopefully invest money in caring and in health and in education, so that they can bring around a non-violent, peaceful revolution in the United States in the near future, hopefully.
Inshallah. Okay, well, thanks very much, Damien, and we'll go over, finish off with a bit of harp music.
Thanks, man.